So, and that kind of brings me to this sort of algorithm that I kind of, you know, we, as you know, we ask these questions, survey questions, we ask everybody, you know, kind of what they do in their practice. And as I've been asking these questions of first-line therapy, how it varies with biomarkers, I'm starting to see an algorithm. I want to know to what extent you might agree with it, which is for the patient who needs to be treated. You can identify the people who are 17p or p53. It's going to be ibrutinib and venetoclax, assuming no other issue. But for 17p negative and p53 negative, if they're mutated, IGVH mutated, then we get into the whole argument about FCR that you went through. But for the remainder, where, you know, for example, BR was something that was often used in patients like that, what I'm hearing is ibrutinib followed by venetoclax rituximab, period. What do you think?
So the whole issue about using chlorambucil obinutuzumab is that, you know, until we had ibrutinib, that was clearly a much more effective therapy for these patients in whom FCR was never going to be an option. So it was an advance. Unlike the FCR argument we had with our patient, where I'm talking about potential cure, there isn't a subgroup of patients in whom I think, you know, oh, chlorambucil obinutuzumab is really going to cure you. I think the mutated patients are going to have a longer duration of response. They may have an increased likelihood of becoming MRD negative, but I'm still not talking cure. So I'm still talking about you're going to give them the therapy and they're going to get ibrutinib at some point in the future. The median time to relapse after chlorambucil obinutuzumab in the CLL11 trials getting up towards 3 years. So you're not talking about these very, very long durations of response that you see with FCR. So I guess probably what you're seeing in the field is more and more clinicians moving right up front to ibrutinib. And of course, the clinical trial data supports it. The randomized trials that have looked at ibrutinib versus chlorambucil clearly demonstrate superiority of ibrutinib. Inside the clinical trials, even the crossover going back to allow the patients to then go on to crossover to ibrutinib still had an inferior outcome. Now, that's a clinical trial vagary that people have to be aware of. The criteria in a clinical trial to crossover is a much higher threshold than we would use in our clinical practice to retreat a patient. So you had to have an independent review committee say that they had progressed above where they were before to do that crossover. So that's a difficult point. But there's no doubt in my mind that ibrutinib is a superior treatment upfront than chlorambucil obinutuzumab. And I guess the other issue was, you already kind of alluded to it, is part of the reason why before I might have considered chlorambucil obinutuzumab more is that then I had ibrutinib as a salvage. And if ibrutinib was all I had, I wouldn't want to go from ibrutinib and when the patient relapsed, think about chlorambucil obinutuzumab because that's not where I would think about it. So when I didn't have a next option, I'd consider chlorambucil obinutuzumab, then ibrutinib. But now that I've got venetoclax or venetoclax plus rituximab, my algorithm then becomes ibrutinib, then venetoclax. So I've got a fallback circumstance. So I've become, I guess, like many other of my colleagues, increasingly comfortable of using ibrutinib frontline. I've got a salvage second line for those patients in whom it doesn't work, or a patient who really gets a complication of the treatment and has to come off it.